women in politics, activism, community organization, and leadership are rising up and affecting change. Especially in large cities like Los Angeles, community organizers have the ability to bring together large amounts of people, which is a hard yet needed task. I interviewed Ajua Jones, a community organizer and political advocate for Black maternal and infant health. Having lived in Los Angeles all her life, the causes for Black women there have been near and dear to her heart. And for about 20 years, she has advocated for Black mothers and infants. I first asked her where she got her start in political advocacy and community organizing.
So basically, I started in the 90s while in college as a community health worker with the first Black infant health program in LA County, which was Great Beginnings for Black Babies and Inglewood Healthy Moms and Babies. And our goal back then was to address the issue of infant death, preventing infant death through preterm labor prevention and low birth weight prevention. And so we would do a lot of education, and back then the education was surrounding substance abuse because we were still in or coming out of the crack epidemic in our communities. And a lot of the information that was shared about Black infants dying was relative or focused on what their moms, what the mothers were doing, supposedly, right? So at that time, we went with that direction of why, and really getting a lot of the Black OBGYNs to partner in and provide the services. And at the time, Daniel Freeman Hospital was a strong partner in that work. So I went from community health worker to graduating from college, getting my degree in health science and becoming their perinatal health educator. So I used to provide about an 8-session series to moms that would enroll in our program and go through labor delivery, nutrition, birth control, family planning, well baby visits, just a whole series, and afterwards would give like a baby shower for everyone who completed the process and gave them lots of gifts and car seats and strollers and things of that nature, and built relationships throughout our community. So we were doing that in the Inglewood and Parkland area.
Then, due to the loss of funding, the program has moved to the LA County Department of Public Health. Currently, it is there now, and Ajua herself works through that entity. After talking more about her past endeavors with Black maternal and infant health, she started to mention her political advocacy work. Here, she answers the question, what gave you the idea / drive to start working in political advocacy for Black mothers?
Georgia and Texas and New York probably are at the highest with their maternal mortality rate. And then at the same time, there was a documentary called Death by Delivery that was going around and folks were showing it. I believe Black Women for Wellness hosted an event at the CAM Museum in LA. And beginning to look at what that meant and why were Black women dying, and why would they be dying in relativity to delivery, pregnancy and birth outcomes. So since those two were happening at the same time, there was this opportunity to create a community action team that was not in place, that was not centered around infant and maternal mortality, because homelessness was already in existence. Reentry was already happening. Anti-recidivism coalitions and actions were happening throughout the nation and throughout our county. Substance abuse that's already in place. And so we looked at, you know, starting something, and, you know, the vision came to me to start something that was inclusive of not just Black infant mortality, but was inclusive of maternal mortality, knowing that we cannot focus on saving Black babies without saving those that are birthing them, right? Saving the moms, really focusing on interventions and actions. And at the same time, Dr. Ferrer, who's the director of the Department of Public Health, had spoken out that racism was the leading cause of Black infant mortality. Not the only, but the leading, right? And at the same time, there were articles that were going out, like NPR did this study, Lost Mothers, there were a number of African-American women, doctors, physicians, OBGYNs, and leaders that have been speaking out about this. Our current VP-elect, Senator Harris, also had spoken out and was building some policy around maternal health and addressing racism and its impact on the maternal health for Black women. And so much was happening at the same time. Also, Black Mamas Matter Alliance had started, and they started this Black Maternal Health Week, which, you know, prior to launching the Community Action Team, the AMCAT, we were able to work with Black Women for Wellness in April of 2018 and participate by offering, partnering with BMMA to have our first Black Maternal Health Week here in LA County. And we did that by having a series of events where the newly appointed Health Promotion Bureau Chief, Dr. Deborah Allen, was coming on board, and Jan, who is the Jan Robinson Flint, who's the Executive Director of Black Women for Wellness, also went and met with her. We went to an event where she presented on the policy or the action plan for DPH with their Center for Health Equity, and how the Black infant mortality or Black infant health was listed on that. And so we talked about her being involved in this Black Maternal Health Week. So we had, I want to say, three or four events. One was a community forum where Black Women for Wellness does every month a Sisters at 8 meeting, which addresses generally a public health topic or some health or social justice issue in our community. And so that one was around Black infant and maternal health, and brought some community members to the forefront with that. We also did a screening of death by delivery, where there was conversation from the team like, hey, why don't we create our own documentary? Because the one that was done, Death by Delivery, was just focused solely on Atlanta and New York. And also, it was not done by a Black woman. It was done by a woman of color, a minority, but who lacked the, you know, expertise with history of our nation and of our culture.
Considering her reasons for working in Black maternal and infant health, she expounded upon her role in political advocacy / activism.
Really doing work around reproductive and environmental justice, as well as policy and advocacy for within our county and across the state, then some work even nationwide. So with this whole person care opportunity, there was supposed to be 8 of us in the same position as mine. And we got to, I think we ended up with 5 throughout the county. And my role was to, part of our work was to either establish a community action team or partner with one that was already in existence. And because of my history and background in reproductive health, it was, and in line with the fact that LA County Department of Public Health, they had started the Center for Health Equity, and they were having a strong focus around addressing Black infant mortality. Still at the same time, the nation was putting out information about how Black moms were dying in maternal health, and how they were dying at high rates in various places throughout the country.
Mentioning the community action teams and their first inception, Ms. Jones stated the need for these teams. She and other community leaders were able to bring together people from many different sectors of the Black Los Angelino population. She refers to the team as an African American Infant and Maternal Mortality Community Action Team, or an AMCAT.
So we were having talks with the health agency, which consists of public health, Department of Public Health, Department of Mental Health, and Department of Health Services, on starting this African American Infant and Maternal Mortality Community Action Team, which will be the first of its kind in LA County. And so initially, though public health only wanted to focus on Black infant mortality, I said, you know, I'm going to, you know, encourage us all to And I'm going to ensure that our team creates an AIM cat, so it will be both. And so though we hadn't had enough data here in LA County around maternal, it was still a need because statewide, it was we were being told that Black women were dying at 3 to 4 times the rate of white women in you know, pregnancy related, you know, birth or during their pregnancy or thereafter within a year of delivery, termination, or even stillbirth. So we were able to do that. We had a first offering, brought a few folks together to start the beginning of that conversation. My colleague, Diamond Lee, Nancy Rodriguez. Diamond represents Spot 8. Nancy was with Spot 6. She now represents Spot 8. And Leslie Lopez, who was working in the Spot 8 region at the same time, along with Jan of Black Women for Wellness, Yolanda of the Black Kids in Health Program, and several colleagues, Helen O'Connor with the Department of Public Health, and Dr. Allen, and some first five colleagues as well, at the start of the conversation. And then we went to the conversation, we said, hey, we're gonna launch two meetings in 2018? Yep, because it's been 2 years now. 2018 of October and November. And then if the community says it's a go and they're interested, then we'll start meeting in January of 2019.
In addition to the community action teams, she and some of her colleagues participated in the creation of some bills, specifically the Senate Bill 464, the Assembly Bill 2258, and the House of Representatives Bill 6142. The House of Representatives bill she sadly does not get to talk about in the interview. However, she does talk about the SB 464 and AB 2258. So being in support of the bill, the Senate bill, Mrs. Jones and her colleagues were consulted to help write the bill. However, as she will explain, the Assembly Bill 2258 was done mainly by her and her colleagues. I asked her to further touch on these works, which I found extremely impressive and interesting. So for the Senate bill,
I want to say in 2019, Senator Mitchell and Nerbese Flint of Black Women for Wellness were creating this SB 464, which is the Pregnancy and Dignity in Childbirth Act. And so we were beginning to have conversations around that too. Like, this is a necessity that providers need to be trained and address their implicitism. And they have to do that in a setting of, you know, a training educational setting in person, not virtually. Well, pandemic is virtual now. But that bill was pushed through by several. It was supported by our LA County Board of Supervisors, and it was approved in October of 2019.
Like, mm-hmm. What was the process you guys had to go through to do all of that? Because I can imagine it's a long one.
Well, actually, we were just supporters of the Senate bill. There was a time when we were asked about some of the language. So a few of us, I know myself and maybe a couple of my colleagues did, you know, we were asked, I know Diamond and myself were asked about some of the language. And so that much was shared, but for the most part, it was actually, we participated on our own time to go up with Black Women for Wellness. Some of us did, they picked up towards the latter part of getting the bill approved. They picked up, they did a bus drive from here to Sacramento. We picked up, stopped in Fresno to pick up some women along the way, and then met with some folks in from the Sacramento area to go before on the Senate floor and share our, you know, support, share our stories, talk about lives lost, talk about wounds taken or traumatized. Talk about the African American woman's experience and that of their children as well. And we found success. So we were in support of Senator Mitchell and her push and also with Black Women for Wellness for being a lead agency through their Black Women for Wellness Action Project to submit that bill. And so basically in that bill, it requires, it also requires some data collection, right? Because the data had not been fully collected on maternal mortality in our state. So it does require some data collection. So the State Department of Public Health now has to track data on severe maternal morbidity, including but not limited to obstetric hemorrhage, hypertension, preeclampsia and eclampsia, venous thromboembolism, okay? Sepsis, cerebrovascular accident, and amniotic fluid embolism. And so it has to be published at least once every 3 years after all of the following have occurred. So that was really important because we need to be able to track this data, right? And to track the outcomes of whether this is, you know, relative to a maternal issue. Because actually, if you can die within a year after delivery or after termination, then you really have to be assured that there's going to be some type of, what do you call it, investigation into a woman's death, right?
And for AB 2258.
Call together some of my colleagues, Diamond Lee, Raina Granberry, who's the perinatal equity coordinator, who was working with Black Women for Wellness at that time, but now is with the LA County Department of Public Health. And then my other colleague, Stella Klingman, who was at the time also with a consultant firm, Coachman Moore and Associates, who I met on the work doing We Can Stop STDs LA. And now she works for the BIH program in Pasadena. And so the four of us got together and we applied for the LA policy team. So Women's Policy Institute has two separate policy fellowships that they do. One is for statewide policy and the other is for local policy. And so they really surround issues around gender inclusion, gender equity, women's equity and inclusion, women's health issues, and, you know, family related health issues. So we were able to apply for this fellowship. We got it. We wanted to really address the doula policy, looking at supporting doula expansion of services to allow for not just Black women, but all women who are on Medi-Cal to have the opportunity to receive doula care because, you know, doula work has been proven. Doulas have been proven to reduce the incidence of C-sections, provide there have been greater health outcomes, this is support. And this is not uncommon. Now, doulas do not provide medical practice or work. But they are support, they're advocates. They're like community health workers, some would say promotoras. They're not midwives. And so some people are like, oh, I can't afford a doula. Well, if they're offering them for free, or if you can get them through your healthcare provider, I think it would be a great opportunity to take advantage of that. So we ended up creating this policy that we were going to present to the Board of Supervisors. And we went around to the five board supervisors and we ended up first getting a real buy-in from Supervisor Hilda Solis and then who authored the bill. And then the co-author was Supervisor Mark Ridley Thomas of the second district of which I live in. And so I was super excited that these board of supervisors, you know, said, hey, yes, great policy, we are supporting it. Put it before the entire board and it was approved January 28th, 2020. And really it was just to have the departments look at ways to create opportunities to expand doula services, be it through Medi-Cal, talking with the partners, or what would be the strategy for that. So actually the current doula pilot through Department of Public Health has been expanded. They got some funding, I believe, from home visitation for, I want to say, through 2023. So they may have another 3 years funding. And so what we had worked on prior to COVID was AB 2258. So that got passed. So that's what the Women's Policy Institute did. And we were very excited, very successful. We were the class of 2019-2020. We finished in February of 2020. And it was the Medi-Cal. So we did also worked with National Health, National Health Law Program with Amy Chin and Alexis Flores. And on a, and then this became like a statewide conversation. And so there's a statewide team that has been looking at doula expansion, and it's AB 2258, and it was co-authored with Assemblymember Reyes, Bonta, Limon, and McCarty. And then co-authors are Assemblymember Bauer and Bauer Khan. So this one is, would be a Medi-Cal pilot, but we're looking to see where that could go. It had to be kind of shelved for 2020, but we're looking to get on the budget for 2021 in California. Because there are other states, I mean, listen, we're normally the state that, you know, starts out with all of this great work, right? And but we're a little behind. There's some other states that have piloted and you know, have moved past us. And so we want to get on board and we want to do it. And we're excited about it. So that's some of the other policy work. And there's more to come.
Afterwards, we talked a little bit about the things that Mrs. Jones had been doing in the community, which seemed expansive.
I mean, so much has happened that I don't feel like we're all over the place. I feel like we're doing a great work. Our AMCAT, South LA, South Bay, has just in October celebrated 2 years. I still have folks calling that are interested. We have folks wanting to volunteer. We had to pivot during COVID because we were meeting bi-monthly. We meet every other month, 6 times a year, to bring the community together, to look at, we have 5 work groups, policy and advocacy, community outreach and education, family-centered models of care, which out of that one group, family-centered models of care, we launched the first Black Daddy Dialogue series that actually they had their last meeting, I mean, their meeting for this month on last night. And so the Black Daddy Dialogue series has still gone on. Then we have integrative holistic approaches, which sadly we lost one of our leaders who was Dr. Barbara Rosia Richardson, who was one of the founders of Black Bottom Company, who was really instrumental that as soon as we talked about getting this started, I remember being at a Black Women for Wellness Reproductive Health Conference, and she said, we talked about, hey, we're gonna launch this community action team. And she came up and gave me a piece of paper and wrote her information and said, as soon as you start, please invite me. I'm very much interested. And we lost her unexpectedly during the first few months of COVID. But we started, the group started the Richardson Review. And that has been a great newsletter that was started. And the next one comes out, I believe, this month or by January. And then the Funder Circle. So those are our work groups. We're talking about starting an interfaith work group as well. But I don't know, Caitlin, it's so much.
And indeed, the work of political advocacy and community organizing is a lot to handle and work through. I am thoroughly impressed with the amount of progress that Ms. Jones has made, and I am glad that I have been able to highlight some of her work through this project. The way in which I have been able to draw attention to the myriad of accomplishments Ms. Jones has been so fortunate to take part in has made this interview well worth it. So this is the end of this podcast. I hope you have enjoyed it, and I hope you will also look up Ajoa Jones post-hints.